Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage and our last and final segment of day number 3 of the Alex Murdaugh trial. We're going to pick it back up where after about 10 minutes of trying to open a box of evidence on the stand, they finally did get it open, and we will go from there back into the courtroom.
Were you able to open it up so we can show the jury? Okay, so if you could tell us, I mean, what we have there.
The entire seatbelt, the strap, the receiver, the buckle.
Kind of stretch it out.
Where it was mounted on the side of the vehicle.
Okay, so that was all removed and submitted to the lab for testing. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Your Honor, the state removes case exhibit 100 into evidence.
Your Honor, I thought we agreed to mark these for ID until the person that did any analysis on it testified. Did I?
Mark identification at this time.
And if you'll turn your attention to the screen there, then you can set that seatbelt down. Y'all also, in addition to doing a search on the Chevy Suburban, you did a search on the white 250 truck. Is that right?
That's right, yes.
And State's Exhibit 104. Were those 300 blackouts found in the truck?
Yes.
Okay. And do you remember where you collected those from?
I believe the center console.
And State's Exhibit 103. You can tell us, is that the 300 blackouts that we're seeing on the screen there that were collected?
Yes.
And how do you know those are the blackouts you collected?
It's my handwriting on the box with the date and time and initials when I collected it. My initials on the seal tape on the box.
Your Honor, this tape would move State's Exhibit 103 into evidence.
Sorry, which?
It's the 300 blackouts that were found in the white F-250 that are projected on the screen.
That's the white 250 Paul's truck left on the side of the road?
Yes.
Okay, no objection.
They're admitted.
Did y'all also process another vehicle, Maggie Murdoch's Mercedes?
Yes, we did.
Were any items of evidentiary value collected from that vehicle?
The only items we collected were two sets of swabs from the interior and two sets of swabs from the exterior door releases of the driver's door.
Did you attend the autopsies of Maggie and Paul Murdoch?
I did.
And did you collect any items during the autopsy?
I did.
And what were those?
I can refer to my notes. They were items that were collected during the autopsy that were transferred to me via chain of custody forms.
Okay.
From Maggie, I got clothes, fingernail clippings, projectile fragments.
Okay.
And from Paul, I also got his clothes, fingernail clippings, shotgun pellets, and wadding fragment from left shoulder and head. Plastic wadding from left axilla or armpit.
And when you collected those items, what did you do with them?
I transported them to the lab at SLED and submitted them to the lab for analysis.
Hey. Agent Worley, I'm going to show you items 66 through 69. Marks. Takes exhibits 112, 111, 110, and 107. Are those items you collected from the autopsy?
Yes, items I took custody of at autopsy.
And what items are those?
The shotgun pellets and wadding fragment from left shoulder and head. The plastic wadding from left axilla.
Would it help you to open that bag up?
And the projectile fragments from Maggie.
Okay, so we'll take those items out one by one. Okay, so what is that item there?
This is item 66. Yeah, 66.
Okay, and what is that actually?
That is the projectile fragments that were collected from Maggie at autopsy.
Okay, how do you know that?
That's how it's labeled.
We'll mark item 66 as State's Exhibit 112. Okay, what else do we have?
The item 69. Plastic wadding from left axilla collected from Paul's autopsy.
Okay. We'll mark that item as Case Exhibit 111. Okay.
And then I also have the item 6768, shotgun pellets and wadding fragment from left shoulder and head collected from Paul's autopsy.
This case exhibit 110 for the shotgun pellets from Paul's autopsy. Okay. Is there anything else in that bag?
There are two in this.
Pardon me?
It's labeled with 67 and 68, the pellets and the wadding fragment.
Okay, so the pellets and the wadding fragment are both case exhibit 110 from Paul Murdoch, correct?
Sure.
Okay, and what else did you collect here? We got items 70 and 71.
Seventy is the left-hand Farino clippings from Maggie. 71 is the right-hand Farino clippings from Maggie.
Okay. Those are marked as State's Exhibit 251. And what is that item?
This is a metal fragment that was collected. It was caught on the dress that I collected from Maggie's autopsy. I collected this metal fragment at the lab at SLED.
So you removed that metal fragment from the dress after the autopsy yourself?
Right.
Okay. We mark that as case exhibit 109.
You continue to lock the vehicle to
yours. I apologize, Your Honor. Sorry.
Item 72 is the left-hand fingernail clippings from Paul's autopsy, and 73 is the right-hand fingernail clippings from Paul's autopsy.
Marcus takes exhibit 252, then takes exhibit 113. What does that appear to be?
This was a shotgun pellet that I found among Paul's clothing once I got the evidence back to the lab.
Thank you. And finally, we have State's Exhibit 36.
This is Paul's shoes. You want me to open?
You can open. Yeah.
Thank you.
And those are the shoes that you did the inked impressions of, the footwear, to compare to those bloody prints in the feed room?
Yes, they are.
Thank you. Your Honor, at this time, the state would admit State Exhibits 36, 113, 252, 109, 251, 107, 110, 112, and 111 into evidence.
But without the chain being completed, we would object to admitting them into evidence.
Which of those exhibits did not have any type of analysis done?
You know, I suspect they all did, but I'm sorry.
Yes, Your Honor, I believe they were all analyzed in some way.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, H. Corley. Also in this case, we just talked about Paul and Maggie's clothing. Did you analyze the defendant's clothing?
I did.
Okay. And I think we said earlier that his clothing was collected from Agent David Owen?
Yes.
And you received that clothing into your custody and submitted it into the SLED lab?
That's right. I took custody of the clothing before we left the scene.
So what kind of testing were you involved in regards to the defendant's clothing?
We processed the T-shirt and the shorts with LCB. It's a presumptive test for blood.
Now, what is LCV?
Leukocrystal violet is a presumptive test. Looks for hemoglobin component of blood.
Okay. So what happens when you put it on something?
If it's reacting to the presence of blood, it's a presumptive positive test, and it'll turn purple.
Can LCV react to other things besides blood?
It can.
Like what?
Bleach, rust, I think, are the main ones.
Okay. All right, so when you process the defendant's clothing with the LCV, what did you find?
There were several areas of staining that we had a presumptive positive result, several on the front and a few on the back of the T-shirt.
And what about the shorts?
In the shorts, there were a few on the front and back.
So when you got that presumptive test with the LCV, what did you do with the shirt then?
We documented the entire process with photographs, starting from taking it out of the package to before we did anything at all with it. We took photographs of the front, the back, inside, and outside. Once we sprayed it with the LCV and saw all the stains that we saw on it, we re-photographed it again with a scale, without a scale first, then with a scale for each stain. Then we laid the shirt flat and labeled each of the stains with a letter and photographed it again with that letter and a scale in the photograph for each of the stains.
And you did that for the shirt and for the pants?
Yes.
Okay. And as far as your analysis goes, after the shirt was processed with the, and shorts were processed with the LCV, did you do any further analysis?
No, I did not.
Okay. And now after something has been sprayed with LCV, what happens to that object?
Over time, any area of the object that came in contact with the LCV will oxidize and the entire thing will be purple.
Okay. So like right now, if you sprayed this paper with LCV, and it didn't turn like purplish blue. Would it eventually turn purplish blue even though there's no blood on this paper?
Yes.
All right. Let's move ahead to the search of Moselle. Was that property eventually searched by yourself and other agents?
It was.
And when did that occur?
September 13th, 2021.
Okay. And that was several months after the murders took place in June?
That's right.
Okay. And what parts of the area or the residence were searched?
We searched the entire residence. The main focus was the gun room on the first floor.
Okay, so could you kind of, I guess, describe the property and the area that was searched?
There's the main residence, and then also there was a cabin closer to the kennels that faced Moselle Road, and then also the workshop that was located near the kennels.
Okay. And is the residence a fairly large residence?
It is.
Okay. And you searched the entire residence?
Yes.
And you mentioned the focus was on a gun room.
Yes.
Where was that located in the residence?
It's on the first floor.
Did you find any items of interest in the gun room when you searched it?
We did collect several items from the gun room.
Was the workshop area of the residence searched out near the kennels?
Yes, near the kennels, yes.
Agent Worley, I'm going to show you State's Exhibits 124, 123, 122, 121, 120, 119, 118, 117, and 116. Could you tell me if those are pictures taken during y'all's search that day?
Yes.
Are those true and accurate depictions of the search of the residence of Moselle and the workshop area?
Yes, they are.
Your Honor, at this time, I would offer State's Exhibits 124, 123, 122, 121, 120, 119, 118, 117, and 116 into evidence.
That's defense.
No
objection, they're admitted.
Agent Worley, is State's Exhibit 116 a picture of the gun room there?
Yes, it is.
And State's Exhibit 117?
Yes.
It appears to have a pool table and a little workout bike in there.
That's right.
And do you recall whether this door in the picture exits to the outside of the house?
Yes, it does.
State's 118. Is that the gun rack in that room?
Yes, it is.
Now, when y'all did the search in September, were any of those guns collected that day?
No.
So these are additional guns to the guns that had already been collected by SLED agents.
That's right.
Was there a lot of ammunition in that room?
There was.
Okay, about States 119. Is that a box of ammunition?
Yes, it is.
Mixed ammunition?
Right.
In fact, was there... This whole bookcase we're looking at over here Was that just full of ammunition?
Yes.
An ammunition bookcase?
Yes.
State's Exhibit 120.
That was also on that bookshelf.
State's Exhibit 121.
Yes.
That is 300 blackout ammunition from this box.
That's right.
On the bookcase.
Yes.
And you, was some of this ammunition collected?
It was.
And you said you also searched the work shed or hangar out near the kennels?
Yes.
State's Exhibit 122. Is that ammunition that was found in the workshop?
Yes, it was in that red bin on the workbench.
Okay. And we see ammunition in a little, like a wire tub, and then in this tray?
Yes.
Specifically in Exhibit 123, what types of ammunition was some of the ammunition that was located?
It was one unfired cartridge head stamped Barnes 300 BLK. That's the one on the left. And then the four unfired shot shells head stamped 12 gauge Federal.
And item 124.
And those were the boxes of 300 blackout ammunition photographed.
And you said y'all collected some of those for evidence purposes?
Not at this one.
But some of the ammunition that y'all found was collected for evidence purposes, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, of course, no. Indulgence, Your Honor. Agent Farley, if you could take a look at these items and tell us whether these were collected by you that day. This was some of that ammunition we were just speaking about.
Can I open that? Yes, these were all collected the day we did that search.
Okay, and where were they collected from?
From the desk in the living room was the cabin that faced Moselle Road. One cartridge from the Winchester box on the bookshelf in the gun room. Head stamp Barnes 300 BLK. One cartridge collected from the desk in the living room of the cabin. One cartridge head stamped SNB AAC 300 BLK from the desk in the living room of the cabin. One cartridge collected from the desk in the living room, head stamped Barnes 300 BLK. One cartridge from the desk in the living room, head stamped Hornady 300 BLK in the cabin. One cartridge collected from the Winchester box on bookshelf in gun room, head stamped SNB 300 AAC BLK. One cartridge from Winchester box on bookshelf and gun room, head stamped SNB AAC 300 BLK.
One cartridge had stamped SNB AAC 300 BLK from the bookcase in the gunroom. One cartridge from the Winchester box on bookshelf in gunroom had stamped SNB AAC 300 BLK. One cartridge from the Winchester box on the bookshelf in the gunroom had stamped SNB AAC 300 BLK. One cartridge from the Winchester box on bookshelf in gunroom had stamped SNB AAC 300 BLK. One cartridge from the Winchester box on the bookshelf in the gunroom had stamped SNB AAC 300 BLK. And one cartridge case had stamped SNB AAC 300 BLK from the bookcase in the gunroom.
And all of those items. Items 147 through 161, which would be states 128, 129, 130, 131, 132, 133, 139, 138, 137, 136, 135, 134, 140, 141, and 142. State removed into evidence at this time.
Okay. We have no objection.
All right, we have some additional cases that were found.
One unfired shot shell from a state box on bookshelf in gunroom, hit stamped Winchester 12 gauge.
That would be states 149.
One unfired shot shell hit stamped 12 gauge federal from red bin on workshop bench.
States 150.
One unfired shot shell, head stamp 12 gauge federal from the red bin on the workshop bench.
That'll be states 148.
One unfired shot shell from nightstand in Paul's bedroom, head stamped Winchester 12 gauge.
States 147.
One unfired shot shell from Kent box on bookshelf in gunroom, head stamped Winchester 12 gauge.
That'll be 146.
One unfired shot shell from the state box on bookshelf in gunroom, head stamped Winchester 12 gauge.
That's 145.
One unfired shot shell, head stamped 12 gauge federal from red bin on the workshop bench.
That would be states 144.
And another unfired shot shell head stamped 12 gauge federal from the red bin on the workshop bench.
That would be states 143. Your Honor, the state removed these items, exhibits into evidence at this time.
No objection.
No objection.
You're admitted without objection.
Okay. What else do we have there, H. Quigley?
One cartridge case had stamped SNB 300 BLK from the Sable and Oak bag in the gunroom.
So this states 126 is from the gunroom.
Okay. One cartridge case had stamped Hornady 300 BLK collected from black Ford F-150 under the driver's seat.
Be states 127. The state would move states 126 and 127 into evidence. States Exhibit 126, one 300 SMB 300 blackout, and 127 is a Hornaday 300 blackout. States Exhibit 127 is from the Blackboard F-150 under the driver's seat from a search on let Agent Worley testify here.
that same search that day.
Would that be not Paul's car, not Alice's car? I don't quite, Your Honor, I object on the basis of relevance. I don't know why a bullet from nobody's car that's involved in this would be relevant.
Minute over objection.
Thank you. This is.
Okay, what other exhibits do we have there?
These are magazines containing ammunition. One of them contains 300 blackout ammunition collected from the shelf in the gun room. And then the other one is a magazine containing cartridges, 300 blackout cartridges collected from the Black Ford F-150.
Okay, so this item's kept collected from the Black F-150. That truck was searched that day too?
It was, yes.
And where was that truck at?
If I remember correctly, it was in front of the residence.
It was a truck that was on the property?
Yes, it was on the property.
Was it on the property the night of the murders?
It might have been the one that was parked off away from the workshop.
Do you know why that truck was searched that day?
It was on the property, and the search warrant included vehicles.
Okay. And those items were found inside that vehicle?
Yes, one of these was.
Okay. And what is the other one?
That's from the shelf in the gun room. The one from the gun room.
So State's Exhibit 152, what did you say that was?
A magazine containing 300 blackout ammunition collected from the shelf in the gun room.
So we move State's 152 into evidence.
Okay.
And then we had State's 258, what was that?
Cartridge collected from the workshop bench. Head stamped Barnes 300 BLK.
Okay. Did you collect any other items that day when the property was searched?
I don't believe so.
All right, let's go back a little bit in your testimony when we were referring to the 300 blackout that you collected from Agent McAllister. If you wouldn't mind looking back at your notes. I believe you testified that was item 34. But that was actually item 33, is the Palmetto State Armory PSA PA-15 multi-rifle with a Knight's coat?
Yes.
That is item 33, the gun.
I have that the night vision scope was 33.
I believe if you'll look closely, you'll see where the gun with the night vision
scope. Oh, yeah. It's the gun with the scope on it, yes.
Is that correct?
That's right.
The gun with the night vision scope being item 33.
Right.
And then to clarify, item 34 would be the 130-round magazine containing the multiple S&B 300 blackout cartridges. Is that right?
Right. It was separated from the gun when I took custody of it, so I logged them in as separate items.
All right. But you did collect those from Cajun Pass.
That's right.
All right. And then also, going back to the scene, you mentioned a projectile that was found near a tire impression.
Yes. We were setting up to take examination quality photographs of the tire impressions at marker 8. We located another fired projectile that was lying on the ground.
I'm going to show you State's Exhibit 250. If you'll take a look at that, could you tell us what that is?
This is that projectile near the tire impression.
Your Honor, the State removes State's Exhibit 250 into evidence.
Okay.
Without objection.
Your Honor, I believe that is finally all we have for. Excuse me, Your Honor. Okay. H. Worley, I'll have you take a look at. You recall collecting the shotgun from Officer Green?
Yes.
Or Sergeant Green? When you collected that gun, did you swab it?
I did.
I'm going to hand you State's Exhibit 259, if you could tell us what that exhibit is.
I took two swabs of suspected blood from the side of the shotgun and two swabs from the muzzle end of the barrel of the shotgun. That was as a precaution when I was unloading the weapon. The 16-gauge shot shell got lodged in the barrel, and before I placed one of my own dowel rods down the barrel to push it back out, I swabbed the muzzle of the barrel just in case.
You swabbed it just in case what?
I didn't want to contaminate any, if there was potential evidence in the barrel or in the muzzle end of the barrel before I placed my dowel rod in that end of the barrel.
And the other swab, did it appear there was visible blood on that gun?
Yes. Suspected blood, yes.
Okay. And what did you do with those swabs once they were collected?
I packaged them in their envelopes, sealed them, and transported them to the lab.
Your Honor, at this time, the State would move State's Exhibit 259 into evidence.
Okay.
Court's indulgence, Your Honor. From Agent Croft.
I'm going to have you take a look at State's Exhibit 260.
I believe these are the ones I took custody of from Katie McAllister.
Katie McAllister. Okay. And Will Marks takes Exhibit 260 for identification purposes only. It's cartridge cases that Agent Worley took custody of from Katie McAllister. And then also these items 40 through 44, which would be State's Exhibit 212, 254, 255, 256, and 257. For identification purposes only.
Yes.
And what are those?
These are the other items I took custody of from Katie McAllister.
Items collected by Katie McAllister and Katie McAllister.
Right.
Okay. Your Honor, the state would offer Exhibits 260, 212, 254, 255, 256, and 257 for identification purposes only.
I'm not quite sure what they are. If Ms. Goo would come here, we can perhaps have a brief discussion.
For identification purposes.
Purposes only. Can you tell us if these are items that you received into your custody?
Yes, they are.
Okay, and how do you know that?
It's my handwriting on this outer packaging.
So there are quite a lot of items in there that you received from, is it Agent Croft or Agent McAllister?
These, I believe, were ones I took custody of from Lieutenant Todd Shank.
Okay.
Let me open them.
But those are items that you took custody of.
That's right. And I logged them in to the lab. I didn't collect them myself. I got them via chain of custody, and then I logged them into the lab.
And that's State's Exhibit 261 for identification purposes only. Any objection?
Identification only.
Yes.
Marked identification.
I close the doors with just one moment here. I have to go.
Agent Farley, please answer any questions from the defense.
Cross-examination.
Your Honor, may we approach? I can say it right here. My cross-examination is witness to take several hours. And if we begin this afternoon, I'm afraid Monday morning I'm going to have to go through everything I went through today to ensure that there's some continuity there. And no offense to the jury, but I'm not sure I'll remember what I did today on Monday. So I would ask you if we could go ahead and take our weekend break today.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will recess for the weekend and resume at 9:30 Monday morning. Please do not discuss the case.
And that's where the trial ended for the week. It's January 27th of 2023 as this timestamp on the case sits. We'll continue our coverage next week as the trial resumes here with True Crime Today on our various podcast outlets. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts as to not miss any breaking updates and discussions on the case. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
What if every student had a tutor and personalized learning was available to everyone? What if every family had a financial guide and their investments made for an optimistic future? What if every doctor could diagnose you in seconds and healthcare visits felt more personal? What if your business never slept and every customer's shopping experience felt like it was designed especially for them? It can with Agentforce, the powerful AI from Salesforce.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.